This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Good afternoon. It's 17 after 12 after 1 in Manitoba. I'm filling in again today for Doug Falconer. Coming up on GX on Agriculture, Manitoba Agriculture releasing its weekly crop report. We'll speak with crop specialist Dane Fraze about that. And with the passing of the 2019, what year? Now I always get confused on these crop years. The 2021 crop year just passed, and now we're into the 21-22. As we do our report card on the past crop year, I spoke this morning with Wade Subkowicz. He's the executive director of the Western Grain Elevator Association, and we'll get his take on this past crop year and what the railroads were and weren't able to accomplish. Those stories and a whole lot more coming up today on GX on Agriculture. First, though, it's the Agriculture Weather Outlook, and it's a presentation of Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And now, Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. Caught a bit of a shower overnight, Phil, and it's mainly overcast and a little cooler today, giving us a bit of a break.
Yeah, a little breeze, too, to go along with that. And we're not done with the showers, but as we mentioned, there's not a lot of moisture to work with. There are going to be some showers, and the chance of showers will go up a bit later on tonight. There's a frontal boundary that's sagging in. It's actually been producing some a different section of this front. It's been producing some showers over now through the afternoon. So the morning, I should say, going into the afternoon, over southernmost central Manitoba down through the central plains. Through these afternoon hours, that is gone, but there's another front to the northwest that's going to drop in, and that will bring another round of showers. This one actually better chance of producing some measurable stuff. The stuff that's ongoing now to our east is starting to get a bit heavier, a little more moisture feeding into the whole weather pattern, and that'll be the case for us for tonight. So today we'll stay partly sunny at times, a lot of cloud cover around. Many of us are not going to break through that. Some of us will, limited fashion. That's why we'll say at times partly sunny. Temperature in the upper 20s, the wind north to northwest, 20 to 40 kilometers per hour with some higher gusts as well. And the trade-off, of course, for a little extra moisture is that the humidex is up. The temperature climbing through the upper 20s will keep the humidex in the low 30s. Now, because of the variability of the sky, we're likely to also have some variability in the temperatures. Thinking upper 20s on the average, around 28, but some of us are going to really struggle to get past 26, 27. Still, the humidity making that humidex crack 30 for most of us. Tonight, isolated showers and thunderstorms, low around 15. Wind will settle down beyond the evening. Later on tonight, down to 10 to 20, and a pretty gentle breeze tomorrow. Partly sunny sky. Actually, a pretty comfortable day tomorrow. Not excessively humid. Dew point is going to drop back into the single digits by the afternoon. So the temperature at 27 will give us low humidity with light wind that brings the fire danger down, though, for the afternoon. Friday, partly to mostly sunny with a high of 29. We're not completely done with the heat. We'll actually see it ramp up a little bit more for the weekend. The temperature near maybe just above 30 for Saturday and Sunday. Both days partly to mostly sunny, but both days with a non-zero chance of showers. 20% for Saturday daytime, 30% through Saturday night, early Sunday morning, most of Sunday dry, Sunday night, again, that 30% chance. And then a little unsettled into the new week. Some cooler air is going to work in for most of next week. The pattern for the summer not changing, but at least the pattern in the near term getting back toward normal through next week.
Thanks, Phil. Now turning to this hour's temperature roundup, 20 degrees in the Paw along with Swan River and Roblin, 22 in Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, and Calvington, 24 degrees in Regina and Saskatoon, Hudson Bay, 18, Shoal Lake Russell, 25, Dauphin, 26, Brandon, 27 degrees. In the Yorkton-Melville region, some haze, cloud, The wind is northwest, 26 to 39 clicks. Relative humidity, 69%. And our temperature, up 1 in the past hour, now 21 degrees. Yesterday's high and low, 28 and 14. Normals for this period, daytime highs, 25. Overnight lows near 11. Hotspot in Saskatchewan yesterday was Leader, 32. In Manitoba, Fisher Branch hit 34 degrees yesterday. Sunrise this morning was at 5:19. The sun will set tonight at 8:32. And again, our current temperature, 21 degrees. It's 12:22, 1:22 in Manitoba. You're listening to GX on Agriculture. A quick break, and we're right back after this. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Beef and Forage Report is coming up next. Sask Power has more than doubled funding for the Farmyard Line Relocation Program for 2021-22. Funding is going up from $2 million to $5 million. This is enough funding for approximately 300 relocation projects. Scott McGregor is a media relations consultant with Sask Power. He explains how the program works.
At its core, it's about safety. We want to be able to make farmyards as safe as humanly possible. And in doing so, we've made the option of burying or relocating lines overhead in farmyards available to eligible landowners. It's kind of a cost-sharing program where Sask Power will pay 75% of the construction costs, and producers, landowners, farmers would cover the other 25% up to $2,000.
Sask Power is currently accepting applications from eligible landowners.
Any interested farmer or landowner would head over to our website, saskpower.com/farmyardlines, or else give us a call. From there, we'll check the eligibility, make sure that it is an eligible customer and spot for land. And then from there, the process will begin. We get you added to a list. We get in touch with you and set up a time and take it from there. From what I've been told, it's a pretty seamless process. And it's important to note that it is a first come, first serve program. So there is no wait list. So once the full about 300 spots are used up this year, then it's done for the year. And then anyone else would like to be contacted about it would have to contact us in the spring.
McGregor says landowners should note the program is eligible for farmyards only and is not open to power lines in fields. He says Sask Power saw 17 line contacts in farmyards last year.
Obviously, in the field, you're going to see more line contacts with farm machinery, just by the nature of there being more power lines out in the field. This year, we are tracking about 7 so far. That number will likely go up with harvest starting to ramp up and more machinery being moved around and so on. So it's if we can even reduce all of these, that would be amazing. One line contact is too many, and so that's why anything that we can do to make the farmyard a safer place, we're certainly going to invest in that.
McGregor encourages farmers to take extra precautions to avoid line contacts during this upcoming harvest season.
So with harvest coming up here, a lot of producers are going to want to get out in the field and get their crops off as quickly as possible. And we just want to, remind people to take it slow, slow it down, make sure that you're extremely careful when working around power lines. Make sure you plan your route ahead of time, be aware of how big your equipment is, and use a spotter if at all possible. We want everyone to get home safely tonight, so certainly exercise extreme caution when harvesting this year on power lines.
More information about the Farmyard Line Relocation Program can be found at saskpower.com/farmyardlines. It's coming up on 12:27 now, 1:27 in Manitoba, and it's time for the Beef and Forage Report. It's a presentation of McDougall Auctioneering.
Beef and Forage Report.
A proposal to both the provincial and federal governments is calling for further measures to help livestock producers through extreme drought conditions. Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association President Kelsey Alford says crops didn't grow this year, pastures are under pressure, and water is drying up.
This is timely. There's no question. This is not a next month, next year. This is a right now. Immediate action on this needs needs to be put in place.
Alford says they appreciate the measures instituted by both levels of government so far. However, there's no end in sight for the extreme conditions. The proposal will work towards solutions for producers who are in dire need of feed. Alford says the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association would like to see access to capital and clean water. And that is today's Beef and Forage Report. It's 12:29 now, 1:29 in Manitoba. It's time for AgriView, a presentation of People's Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, AgriView.
July was very hot and dry in Saskatchewan, with a number of new temperature records established. Scott Keller is with WeatherLogix, based in Winnipeg.
Three stations in Saskatchewan at Hudson Bay, Last Mountain, and Wynyard all had their warmest July on record. And in other parts of the province, there were many locations that had one of the top five warmest Julys on record. So there's so many stations on the list, I won't be able to go through all of them, but if you take a look at these summary statistics, you'll find that there were very few stations that weren't in the top 10 or top 5 warmest Julys either. So it was a hot month across the board for Saskatchewan.
Scott Keller is a meteorologist with WeatherLogix, based in Winnipeg. Manitoba Agriculture reports harvest has started in parts of the Central and Interlake regions. Below normal yields are anticipated for spring wheat and peas. Early harvested grain quality appears quite good, with higher test weights and good color in spring wheat and oats. Field pea quality appears high, with low amounts of crop splitting. No moisture was reported this past week in the southwest region. All cereals have rapidly advanced with the heat and dry conditions, and premature ripening is evident in the driest areas. A few winter cereal fields have been harvested and some oats have been swathed. Harvest in the southwest region is expected to become more general in the coming weeks. Shifting our focus to the northwest, the trend of high temperatures continued last week, continuing to push crops closer to maturity. The reproductive phase of some crops was shortened due to high temperatures and will likely result in lower yields. There was some localized precipitation. Unfortunately, some of it was in the form of hail. The extent of damage is variable and is being assessed at this time. Approximately 60% of the spring wheat in northwestern Manitoba is rated as good, with the remainder of lower quality. Canola continues to be highly variable across the region. Approximately half of the canola in the Roblin and Swan River region is good, while the rest is in the fair to poor category. Field pea desiccation continues, and harvest has started in the Swan Valley region. Canada's major railways moved a record amount of grain during the 2020-2021 crop year. CN Rail says it moved just over 32 million metric tons of Canadian grain and grain products, exceeding its previous record of 29.4 million tons set in the 2019-20 crop year. CP Rail also shipped over 32 million metric tons of grain, exceeding last year's record of 29.52 million tons. It also marks the fourth consecutive year that CP has set a new annual movement record. CN says it expects to move between 25.5 and 28 million tons of grain in the 2021-22 crop year, while CP says it's still preparing to handle more than 30 million tons. Manitoba Canola Growers has announced its 2021 high school scholarship winners. They include Charlotte Little of Hamiota, Jessica Young of Miniota, Kyla Cron of Mather, Megan Bezwetherick of Austin, and Samuel Cron of Rivers. Each recipient will receive a $1,000 scholarship. Recipients must be graduating from grade 12 or from a farm that's a member of the Manitoba Canola Growers Association and are planning to attend post-secondary education in any field within 2 years of graduating. Students submit their applications, which are judged by an independent panel based on academic standing, personal canola connection, references, essay submission, and school and community involvement. Clean Farms has released a first-ever national benchmark report that documents the types and amount of plastic packaging and products used in the agricultural sector across Canada. The research estimates Canadian farmers use nearly 62,000 tons of ag plastic products and packaging annually. More than half of that, about 53%, is generated in the Prairie provinces. Ontario and Quebec combined generate another 37%, BC accounts for about 7%, and the Maritimes produce the remaining 3%. Different commodities and farming practices impact the type and amounts of ag plastics in use. Field crop production accounts for 59% of the total amount generated in the form of grain bags, silage wrap, bale wrap, baler wrap, and bunker covers. Vegetable production, whether in field or in greenhouses, accounts for another 10% of the annual total and includes items such as propagation trays and greenhouse films. In the report, Clean Farms also noted that a national multi-phased strategy is needed to enable industry to divert more plastics that can be recirculated in the Canadian economy. To that end, Clean Farms is launching 6 pilot projects designed to help cover a greater portion of essential high-volume ag plastics. Clean Farms currently collects about 6,000 tons of ag plastics annually through its existing programming. This figure is up from about 2,000 tons in 2015. Sask Wheat has a job opening. Longtime general manager Harvey Brooks is retiring. Brooks has served as the GM for Sask Wheat since 2014 and has seen the development of the organization from a startup commission to its full operations today. Sask Wheat chair Brett Halstead says Brooks has been instrumental in carrying out the policy decisions of the Sask Wheat Board of Directors. Halstead says Brooks has represented Saskatchewan wheat producers in important policy debates, such as the Canadian Transportation Act Review and currently on the Canadian Grain Act Review. Brooks was instrumental in the formation of the Canadian Wheat Research Coalition and having Sask Wheat take on the administration of the Canadian National Wheat Cluster, which facilitates a $25 million collaborative research effort. Brooks will remain with Sask Wheat until mid-October. Federal Ag Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau announced a $100 million top-up for the Emergency Food Security Fund this morning. This additional investment will provide more support for food banks and local food organizations who are coping with higher demand and fewer resources. 1 in 7 Canadians lives in a household where there was food insecurity over a one-month period during the COVID-19 pandemic. And one more thing, KidSport Saskatchewan and Viterra have teamed up to ensure that all kids in the province can get back to sport. The KidSport Back to Sport with Viterra project launched earlier this week to ensure that kids have an opportunity to run, jump, learn, and play through sport. In the month of August, Viterra will match all donations to KidSport Saskatchewan up to $5,000 to get kids off the sidelines and into the game. Money raised will stay in each local Saskatchewan community. And that is today's Ag Review. It's 12:38 now, 1:38 in Manitoba. We have the Livestock Market Report coming up next.
Livestock Market Conditions.
Cattle futures were up today. October live cattle, 128.97, up 82 cents. December live cattle closed at 133.95, up 75 cents. September feeder cattle, 162.87, up 35. October feeder cattle, 165.45, up 40 cents. October lean hogs closed at 90.12, down a buck 25. and December lean hogs 83.50 to 100 weight, down 72 cents. And those are today's closing U.S. livestock futures. We'll check the grain prices coming up in about 10 minutes from now at 10 to 1, 10 to 2 in Manitoba.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Hi. Thanks very much. Again, that toll-free number to contact Johnston's Grain Marketing in Welwyn is 1-800-324-7778. It's 12:42 now, 18 before 1, before 2 in Manitoba. CN and CP Rail say they moved record amounts of grain in the 2020-2021 crop year. Wade Subkowicz is executive director of the Western Grain Elevator Association. He says CN and CP did a good job of shipping grain across Western Canada in the 2020-2021 crop year.
The railways have moved record volumes, but that's because farmers grew record volumes in that year, and grain companies were able to load record volumes of rail cars and unload record volumes of rail cars. So it's not 100% due to the railways doing, but they did move more grain overall in that year than I think we've seen in recent history. So part of that has to do with the fact, we think it has to do with COVID-19 and that other sectors weren't shipping as much product during that year, and so there was less competition for the rail service. But the railways say that's not the case. So, you know, if what they say is true, then you know, we can expect good rail service, I suppose, in the foreseeable future as well.
The railways say upgraded infrastructure allowed them to move record amounts of grain in the 2021 crop year. Subkowicz acknowledges that improvements have been made.
I think that's probably part of it as well. I mean, they are investing in their infrastructure, you know, and also grain companies are investing in their infrastructure. It's the first full year that G3 has been fully online. You know, we have the terminals in Vancouver in particular that have invested in faster ship loading capabilities. We have invested in additional storage capacity out there and better efficiency in unloading rail cars. So it's investments made by, I would say, you know, the different links in the supply chain and investments made by farmers in order to produce that crop. I mean, we have a crop size that's growing 3% per year on average. You know, the year we're in right now, or the harvest we're coming to right now, you know, is a regression from that. And I know that there are a lot of farmers in a bad way out there due to the drought conditions. But, you know, over a long-term period of time, you know, we're trending upward in terms of crop production, and you know, that's due to the farmers' practices and investments in varietal development by the life science companies.
With this year's drought, grain volumes are going to be much lower. Subkowicz says the grain industry expects the railways to deliver grain in a timely fashion.
The important thing to keep in mind is, regardless of the size of the crop, the grain companies want to move it as early as possible. So they want to move it in the fall and winter, because that's normally when we get the highest premium for that crop. So whether it's an 80 million ton crop or a 60 million ton crop, we want to move as much of it as we can between October and March. That's the highest demand for capacity. So that's really what we need the railways to supply. And we need, you know, I guess, just like, you know, the drought situation is something we can't control. There are always factors we can't control, like on the rail side as well, like mudslides, avalanches, that sort of thing. So, you know, that's something as well we didn't see last year. We didn't have any significant weather disruptions. We didn't have any labor stoppages, and we didn't have any blockades. So those all contributed to the better service that we had in the 2020-21 crop year.
Grain Week 50 was a challenging week for CN Rail. They could only supply 34% of the cars ordered.
That's directly related to the Lytton fires. and the fires in BC and the ministerial order for them to move at slower speeds. So they weren't able to move as much as what the demand was for that period of time, in part due to those factors.
Subkowicz says the slowdown order was in response to the hot weather and the fire danger.
When it's so dry and they have fire bans on, and when the railways go at high speed, there is the ability for sparks to come off the tracks, and that can start a fire. And so when it's hot like that and dry like that, the railways are ordered, or they have been ordered this year, to slow down so that to mitigate the risk of a potential fire start. So in those circumstances and in the current circumstances, the hot weather is having an impact in that way.
CN Rail says it expects to move between 25.5 and 28 million tons of grain in the 2021-22 crop year, while CP says it's still preparing to handle more than 30 million tons. Subkowicz hopes we can hit those marks.
We just hope that the crop comes off at a reasonable volume, and that it's not as bad as what we think it is in terms of harvest. We know that there are some places where it is so dry and the yields are going to be low, and you know, we just feel that we feel for those farmers, and it's going to, you know, cost us as an industry. It's going to cost those farmers, and it's going to cost the grain handlers and exporters, because we're not going to be able to move as much as we'd hoped. And you know, I guess that's what you get when you sign up for farming and for grain farming and anywhere in the world, is, you know, you have good years and you got to plan for those eventual bad years, and this year may be one where, you know, that harvest isn't you know, the tonnage isn't as high as what we've come to expect recently.
Wade Subkowicz is Executive Director of the Western Grain Elevator Association. It's coming up on 12:49 now, 1:49 in Manitoba.
Commodities Update.
Checking the afternoon commodities now, closing prices. November canola closed today at $872.80 a metric ton, up $17.70 today. January canola, $858.90, up $14.40. September Minneapolis wheat was down at the close, $9.03 a bushel, down 16 and 3 quarters of a cent. September Kansas City wheat, $6.94 and a quarter, down 13 and a quarter. September Chicago wheat closed today at $7.17 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter cents. September corn, $5.45 and three quarters, down 4 and 3 quarters. September soybeans closed up at $13.32 a bushel, up 8 and a quarter cents. And September oats, $4.44 a bushel, that's down 1 cent. And those are today's closing commodity prices. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald, filling in for the vacationing Doug Falconer. Expectations are quite low for this year's harvest in Manitoba. Manitoba Agriculture's Dane Fraze.
Continued hot and dry has exacerbated conditions over the past 3 to 4 weeks. There's only been spotty rains in the northwest and southwest regions to help alleviate some of that stress. And with those thundershowers that came down, that brought along a little bit of hail with it too. So right now, crops are in a tough spot. We're seeing harvest rapidly accelerate and move along much quicker than we would normally. Harvest has begun in parts of the province in the central and eastern regions, and we expect it to start in earnest in the southwest in the coming days. And that is typically about 3 weeks ahead of normal.
Fraze says most crop yields are expected to be well below normal.
Yields will certainly be less than average. Right now, we're seeing spring wheat yields, for example, anywhere between 25 and about 45 bushels an acre. However, there could be hot spots, and there could be areas where it would be even worse than that. Right now, I think the attitude most farmers have is, let's get into this crop and get it over with, and we'll try again next year.
There is one crop, at least, that hasn't suffered as much from the extreme heat.
Extreme dry conditions There is one crop that does shine. Sunflowers in particular do tend to tolerate the hot and dry quite well. They have a very deep taproot system that will reach down and pull up moisture that other crops aren't able to get. However, with the persistent long hot and dry conditions, those crops are also stressed. I mean, they're making smaller heads and smaller potential for yield based on the seed set in those heads. Even if they are looking relatively better, that is still they are still affected. On the other side of things, corn is an extremely heavy moisture user, and many cornfields have had rolled leaves for well over a month now, and that's leading to reduced stand height, reduced pollination, and potentially way smaller cob set if corn crops are setting cobs at all.
The drought has been a nightmare for cattle producers. Fraze says limited growth in pastures has forced producers to look at alternative feed sources.
Many livestock ranchers are already supplementing cattle on pasture to give them an additional feed source. Depends on where pasture conditions were managed a little bit more appropriately or a little more intensively managed. Newer stands, those sorts of things tend to be faring slightly better. Older stands are certainly browning off and not producing enough regrowth at all. So many cattle producers are looking at alternative feed sources. They're looking at baling straw, baling other crop residues, ditches, sloughs, that sort of thing. Taking off poor cereal crops as a green feed, or even looking at taking off corn early as either a silage or a high moisture corn.
Fraze says luckily droughts in Manitoba aren't that common.
Normally, Manitoba is in a position where we typically have too much moisture rather than too little. So we certainly can relate and feel for how farmers further west or in the Rocky Mountain foothills have, where they're perpetually faced with dry conditions. So certainly got to take the good with the bad, and that's why farmers are always saying, well, there's always next year.
Manitoba Agriculture's Dane Fraze. Regina-based Protein Industries Canada has announced a total investment of $900,000 to improve the use of data in the agriculture and agri-food sector. CEO Bill Gruel says Protein Industries Canada will provide $438,000 and the project participants $465,000 to advance farm data development.
We're really looking at how we better utilize and leverage data for production efficiency and giving customers information about the products that they're eating that are derived from plant-based foods. When you think about it, we're really in the digital economy now, and agriculture is transitioning more and more to data and information used to support decisions that producers can use to make production more efficient. I think really what this project is looking at is how do we create the data system so that we can prove to our end-use customers, that might be consumers eating plant-based foods on the west coast of Canada, we're really concerned about things like the environmental footprint of the food products that they're eating. Data is critical to that because we need to understand all the things that went into producing those end-use customer products. That is fertilizers, herbicides, which lead to things like understanding the carbon footprint and sustainability of ingredients. Data is important as we move from production through to ingredient processors through to food manufacturers, so the consumer at the end of the day can have confidence that the food they're eating meets their own personal choices around environmental sustainability.
Gruel says funding will be directed to four areas.
And this is in collaboration with both a not-for-profit organization based out of Manitoba, which is called Emily, but a lot of really good private sector partners and companies like G3 and Merit Functional Foods and Viterra. What we're doing is really funding kind of four different areas. The first is related to kind of this a pilot project. How do we ensure that data is moving throughout the value chain from producer to ingredient processor to food manufacturer? So there's a pilot project about how we move data up and down the value chain in support of sustainability metrics. We're also looking at some areas that are kind of contentious from a producer's perspective. That's around data ownership and data privacy. We really need to understand that better in the agriculture and food production landscape to make sure that producers feel confident that the data that they're sharing is owned and protected. Third area is really around improving digital skills and data literacy. We know that as we transition agriculture to the quote-unquote digital economy, we need to get more people involved in data sciences and agriculture, so we're doing a little bit of work there. And so it's a pretty all-encompassing project looking at better utilization of data in the agriculture space.
And Gruel had one more thing to add.
You know, at the end of the day, consumers, whether they're in Vancouver or Toronto or anywhere around the world, want to understand better about things like the environmental sustainability or the environmental footprint of the products that they're eating. In Canada, we've got a great story to tell because we're a highly sustainable, low-input agriculture. But we have to be able to prove that. It's not enough for us to say, look at us, we're Canadian and we're sustainable. We have to prove that out with data and information. So I think at the end of the day, farmers will benefit from this project because consumers will have confidence in the food products that they're eating from Canada, that they're meeting their own personal goals for sustainability. And so I think it's really critical that we do this and that we create the systems where farmers are compensated for that data and information and the sustainable production practices.
Protein Industries Canada CEO Bill Gruel. Well, it's 12:58 now, 1:58 in Manitoba, and we'll close out today's program with our precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Moosomin, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roplin, and Russell regions. Partly sunny at times this afternoon, windy, north-northwest 20 to 40 with gusts higher at times, high 28. Mostly cloudy tonight, 30% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Wind north 10 to 20, overnight low 15. Partly sunny tomorrow, wind west-northwest 10 to 20, up to 27 degrees. Partly to mostly sunny on Friday. Wind shifting to east-southeast 15 to 30, high on Friday 29. Partly sunny 30 on Saturday, mainly sunny 31 on Sunday. Turning to this hour's temperature roundup, 22 degrees in Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, Broadview, and Moosomin, 20 in Roblin, the Paw, and Swan River, 26 in Dauphin, Brandon, 27 degrees, Shoal Lake Russell, reporting 25, Saskatoon and Regina, both 24. In the Yorkton-Melville region, well, it's cloudy, some haze, breezy, northwest wind gusting up close to 40 kilometers an hour. Relative humidity is 69% and our current temperature 21 degrees. That's our time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, 1:15 in Manitoba with GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX 94.